submitting to Christ. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 11. In April 1904, some missionaries and Indian pastors gathered together for prayer at this place called Sialkot in Punjab, in India. They were distressed by the low spiritual state of the people there, the worldly and the indifferent Christians, the lack of zeal, the slack ministers and Christian workers, and the want of evangelical fervor and zeal. They have heard of the news of the revival in Wales then taking place, and it filled them with hope. They decided that they would not leave the place until they knew definitely from God what they should do to meet the situation in Punjab. They were men and women whom God laid a burden to pray for the people around them. In that meeting, the Punjab Prayer Union was formed. Those who became members pledged themselves to set apart to pray half an hour each day for spiritual awakening. And before the year closed, on December the 8th, 1904, God revealed himself through a vision of Christ to a Sikh, S-I-K-H, boy of 15-year-old. His name was Sundar Singh. If you have heard of him, this boy sought for peace through the study of scriptures of India and the practice of yoga. But he found no peace. One day, the vision of Christ, which he saw with his very eyes, the living Savior of mankind, appeared to him. And from that day onward, he followed him. He found true peace and joy in his heart. On the 3rd of September 1905, he was baptized and he joined the Christian church. And so it was asked, is it a mere coincidence that the earnest prayer of missionaries and pastors and the vision of the living Christ that was granted to Sundar Singh, this minister of the gospel in the turn of the last century, beginning of the last century, said, I cannot but believe that God, in answer to the prayers of his people, raised up and in an unexpected quarter a witness to his power and love. God endowed this man, Sundar Singh, to preach the gospel to others. His influence for good steadily increased, and in the course of the years spread through the world. Sundar Singh passed away in 1929. From 1904, we turn the clock forward to 1927, 23 years later. God called another man, this time in China. These two men, Sundar Singh and the other man in China, Dr. John Sung, I believe was instrumental to the spiritual awakening in Asia in the last century, of which many are the fruits of their ministry. John Sung was called by God in a personal encounter with Christ. And he testified In a book written by the late Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, that night of nights, February 10th, 1927, was the birth of new life in me after 40 days of wilderness struggle. I shall never forget. That same night, I received our Lord's commission to go into all the world to be his end time witness. The Lord changed my name to John, that I should be a forerunner to him in this age, like John the baptizer at his first coming. The Lord is coming very soon. He needs heralds before his return. Our Lord's second coming is different from his first coming. He requires many forerunners, not one today. We are to preach. The Lord is at hand. Christ is coming very soon. The Lord revealed to John Sung that he had 15 years of ministry, having known the limited time he has for service. He burned out for the Lord. In the steps of the Apostle Paul, John Sung, 1901 to 1944, evangelized Asia, Southeast Asia, and China. It is testified whereby hundreds, several hundreds, thousands were saved and hundreds more called to full-time ministry. The Apostle Paul's conversion preceded these two men by 1,900 years. It was a testimony of the truth of the living Christ, that Jesus Christ indeed died and 3 days later rose again from the dead. And this was a testimony of a living faith that God gave to this man. It changed their lives. And if you read the biography of each one of them, you would find that they go through a period of hard struggle, a period of soul searching. God had to confront them realistically, truly, concerning life. And this man saw the purpose for their lives, and they never looked back. Once they saw the living Christ and the eternity that God has prepared for them. The Apostle Paul testified after he was saved on the road to Damascus. He says that I retreated into Arabia, and for 3 years he prepared himself to fulfill the call of Christ. Galatians chapter 1 verses 15 to 17, he says, but when it pleased God, this was his testimony, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, a desert place, and returned again unto Damascus. The need to cultivate faith through the work of the Holy Spirit, to take time, discipline, and patience, much humble waiting in the presence of God, and in abiding in Christ, and absorbing interest in the Word of God, make this man, the Apostle Paul, one of the examples of faith for our learning. He says, he writes in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10, but God had revealed them unto us the truth, the gospel, the wisdom of God by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. It is no surprise that he spent 3 years in Arabia soon after his conversion, and somewhat later, 5 to 7 years in Tarsus. He needed time and solitude for theological orientation, biblical solidification, as well as spiritual maturation before he became the greatest missionary of the Christian era. We will be studying the story of the Apostle Paul, the book of Acts from chapter 9 onwards. You'll find a gradual unveiling in the life of this man whom God has changed. This is his story which we want to present to you from Acts chapter 9. Three thoughts. The rebellious life, verses 1 to 2. The subduing, verse 3 to 9. The restored return life, verse 10 to 11. Our first thought, the rebellious life. Verse 1 says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, people who follow the way of Jesus Christ, whether they be men or women, he is going to incarcerate them. He might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. The call of God separates a man to salvation. This was Paul's story. He was gloriously saved and commissioned by Christ. He met Christ on Christ's 11th and final appearance, recorded in Acts 9, which we have read. And he testified in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time on the road to Damascus, persecuting the early church 2 years after the ascension of Christ. So a little bit of orientation. And he confessed. He says that I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He was a fierce persecutor of the early church. He witnessed the martyrdom of Stephen, and he was consenting, Acts chapter 8 tells us, to Stephen's death. Truly, salvation comes by the grace of God. The encounter with Christ was dramatic, and it altered the entire course of his life from henceforth. In his own words, he says in Ephesians 2:8, describing the gift of salvation from God, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We have had opportunities to witness to different people in our lives. And I remember there was a time when there was a sister who witnessed to his father, to her father. And she made this comment. She said, he is a tough nut to crack. She was discouraged because she could see the hardness of the father's heart. And all of us who at some point in our life who did try to evangelize to men and women, well, we would find that same encounter of men and women who would just not listen. They don't want God. You tell them A, they would say B. This was the man Saul. But he testified of his salvation. Galatians 1, 15 and 16, it says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me." You see, God had to reveal himself to us. Unless God would open our spiritual eyes, we cannot know God. And as you look at the profile of this man Saul, you would be able to see that he was indeed a pitiful man, rebellious, uncontrollable, uncontrolled. But you see also how the love of God met him that divinely appointed day. We realize that God saves, and his grace is able to change the greatest sinner. And it gives to us hope to pray for those who are still outside his kingdom. It may be our loved ones whom we think it is impossible. Well, this was an impossible task. If you look at it truthfully, you examine the profile of this man Saul, how can he be saved? This is a picture of a man under the sun, lived with God yet don't know God, disoriented, disturbed in the mind, disgruntled. But we want to see how God's grace appeared to him. Verses 3 to 9. The subduing. How God brought his fear into the heart of this man. We realize that there is a God who is real and living, who would still save the hardest of sinners. And we can still rely on him to save men and women who are in trouble. And as you study the profile of this man, the testimony of his salvation, it must bring us hope. Right? There is salvation possible, and it gives to us the spiritual strength to want to go out and share the word as the Spirit would lead us. So verse 3 says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said to him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And verse 6 says, "And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now, that encounter between Saul and the living Christ brought about, you may say, an instant change, conversion. Oftentimes, God sent humbling situations to our lives to help us to see that we are on that broad way to destruction. like this man Saul, and to arrest us by his fear that we cannot order our own lives. We are told in verse 9 that he fasted and prayed for 3 days. Right, verse 9 says, and he was 3 days without sight. Right, God's fear came into him because that light from heaven blinded him. Suddenly he could not see. The light was turned to darkness. Right, the lamp of his sight was switched off. Imagine to lose your sight and to have to grope in the dark. It must have been a frightening experience for him. You know, he was pushing and he was rampaging his way through as if he couldn't be stopped. And suddenly, God stopped him. Christ appeared to him. It can be a sickness. It can be a loss of job. It can be an estranged relationship that challenges our common wisdom, that tells us suddenly in a realization that we don't know how to order our lives. Things are falling apart and we don't know what to do. We are confronted with life and we are at a loss what to do. And it is the testimony of many a Christian how God would lead them to his word to reveal his son to us. Is this your experience? It is my experience. It is the experience of all of you here who have encountered the Lord. And we begin to exercise faith to prove the word of God. And then we find him faithful to help our lives. But before that process, we are a law to ourselves, living without the fear of God in our hearts. Frightening life. That was how Saul was living. And he didn't know it until God confronted him. For Dr. Johnson, if you read his testimony, it says he was 40 days, 40 nights in prayer. How can a man struggle this long? 40 days, 40 nights. It must be a deep work that God was doing in his heart. And if you notice from these testimonies, that if God were to use anyone, he first has to do a deep work of sanctification in our lives. Unless we know him from the deepest recesses of our heart, unless he has transformed us, we cannot be useful for him. That's who we are. Before we come to know God, we denounce all authority. We are authority in ourselves through our self-righteousness. But God humbled this man, struck him down by a light. And you realize that as we see, as we read this testimony of this man, what a God. What a God. We don't want to meddle with him. In the Old Testament, there's the story of the man Nebuchadnezzar. You know him? He was the man who built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. He was reputed in the ancient world, before the invention of aircon, to be the Eden of the ancient world. If you make a search, you'll find unparalleled, even as we see, compared with our two domes, right, at the gardens by the bay. You've been there, you know what I mean. Beautiful garden environment. Cool air. God consigned him, because of his pride, to live like an animal for 7 years until he acknowledged the God of heaven. We realize that we cannot live a life outside our Creator, because we won't be able to function as he has created us to function. And therefore he has to confront us by his love. You know, do not think that when God would confront us in our lives, it's a bad thing. For Saul, for each one of us, God's confrontation with us in our lives is his grace, his eternal blessing for our lives. So the man Nebuchadnezzar, he was saved. The story tells us that he heard a voice from heaven saying to him, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." We all know he is the head of gold, absolute authority. He is the absolute monarch of the ancient world. No one could match the power that was vested in the hands of this man. But he didn't realize that God is the one who placed him there as king. It was only after 7 years of living like an animal, like a cow, like an ox, eating grass, that he finally see that his life came from God. And he testified. He says, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lived forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." So this man saw when he was blinded. Now, when you are blinded, what could you do? Life comes to a standstill. No more life. Life is darkness to you. Jesus vindicated himself by appearing personally to Saul and confronted him. Jesus said to him, "Why persecutest thou me?" He saw the resurrected Christ. He had no excuse. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:6, he says, describing his salvation, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, he could not have written this without personally experiencing Christ in his life. And the Lord also meets us through his word, that we may know him. Saul realized that by persecuting Christians, he was persecuting the Lord and standing in the way of what God is accomplishing. in fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures. It was a shattering realization. You know, sometimes we are so confident of what we are doing that we think that we are going the right way until God would confront us. It was a sober realization. Living and realize that life lived as a mistake. What happened to him? Verse 9 tells us he fasted and prayed. We witness here his deep contrition and how repentance, true repentance, came into his heart. You read our weekly, newsletter. John Calvin wrote, "What is a true Christian?" And he speaks about that conversion, that self-denial that comes with conversion. God did a deep work to change the heart. And if you study church history, you'll be able to see that only with deep and thorough conversion would there make strong Christians and earnest workers for the Lord. God confronted this man, Saul. And you know, there was a brother who said, "You realize the Apostle Paul's life, you know, after God has restored his sight, I think his sight was not fully restored, you know." And he gave me the example of the time when he was having his he was stranded on the island, you know, and how the snake bit him. Right, there was in the midst of a lighted fire. Right, this brother said, "Do you observe? How come you cannot see the snake moving in?" Could it be that weakness of the eye? But you see, this man saw the dying Stephen. And he was, the text of the Bible tells us, consenting to his death. It must have caused an unrest in his soul. Because there was an innocent man killed. If you shed the blood of an innocent man with your own blood, you will pay for it. Genesis 9:6. He's an Old Testament scholar. He knows the word of God. And the fear of God came into his heart. He understood what he had been doing. And God must have confronted him in such a deep way. He says later on in his testimony to King Agrippa in Acts 26:16-18, he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose," Jesus said, "to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Deliver thee from the people and the Gentiles whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. You see how vivid that picture is to this man. He understood what is light and darkness. because he was confronted by light and darkness. God confronted him in order that he may be saved. How he received forgiveness. There was that trembling and that astonishing that was in him. He was a man who has encountered God. You remember the prophet Isaiah? When he saw God, Isaiah chapter 6, it was the year King Uzziah died. What happened? King Uzziah intruded into the temple of God to offer sacrifice. He was not allowed as a king to offer sacrifice. And God struck him with leprosy. And he died a leper. So Isaiah chapter 6 says, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah remembered. God confronted him in his throne room. Remember? In Isaiah chapter 5, he was serving God already. And he was pronouncing war to everyone in Israel. Right, chapter 5, you see he pronounced 6 woes upon everybody in Israel. But in chapter 6, he says, woe is me. He pronounced a woe upon himself. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Then God brought a coal through the angel and touch his lips to cleanse him and to declare him a vessel sanctified for his use. Who is meet for the master's use except God would save us, except his mercy may come upon us? And you realize that it was not Saul who confronted God, but God who confronted Saul. It is the same for our lives. The grace of God coming to our lives. And we realize that the opening of the eyes, spiritual eyes, is of God. Only God can open the eyes of a person, the spiritual eyes of a person. And it is interesting. This man, blinded, humbled, but believing and surrendered, Saul of Tarsus, became Paul the Christian. And, you know, when Ananias came to see him, Ananias caught him in verse 17, Brother Saul. God revealed to him that this man was saved. He was led by the hand in his blindness to the Damascus. Verse 10 to 11. The restored life. And there was a certain disciple, verse 10 says, at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He was blinded. The fear of God arrested his heart. He was shaken to the core. His pride and scholarship was reduced to dust when he realized that he has been going against the God whom he claimed to serve. How do you know that a man is spiritually alive? Well, Jesus gave the litmus test. He prays, verse 11 says, Behold, he prays. How do you know when a man is physically alive? He breathes.
mind.
How do we know that when a man is spiritually alive? Well, he prays. Remember, our text begins with how he breathed out threatenings. And later on, you see how God breathed life into him. And now you can see how he was praying. How do you know when a baby is alive? The baby cries. By the cry of the baby, we know that the child is alive and kicking. Similarly, for the child of God, how do you know if he's spiritually alive? He is praying. He prays. Prayer is communion with God. And Ananias was asked to go and see, right, to this place, this street called Straight. I was looking at it, very interesting. Right? All the, as you observed, all the crooked streak in this man's saw has been straightened. Right? And the street straight. All the rebellion subdued. He was quiet before God. He learned to submit to God, to let God be God, and realize that he is not. And God restored order to Saul's life. The name Paul means little. He learned to live humbly under God. And God will use him for his glory. He used to make long prayers as Saul, the scholar, before the Lord met him on the way to Damascus. As a Pharisee of Pharisees, he called himself. But it was not till his heart was open that the Lord said he prayeth. Saul searched his heart, examined his life, and mourned for his sins. 3 days. He communicated with his Creator. He was alive. You see here, prayer is absolutely needful to a man's salvation. And the surest mark, J.C. Ryle observed, he says, of a Christian is the habit of prayer. And Acts 9:11 is cited as a man who has been opened to know God in a living and a real way. So we want us to see how God saves a man, how he is submitted to him. The rebellious life, the subduing, verse 3-9, and the restored and the returned life. This was the life of the Apostle Paul, how God would use him to write half of the New Testament scriptures. How he, with many other men, would set the entire Roman Empire ablaze with the gospel. So many souls were saved because God saved this man. God can use you too. Each one of us to be his instrument of righteousness, but to be useful, we have to examine our lives. take time to allow God to work the sanctifying work in our hearts, that our ways may be conformed to Him, that we may be vessels fit for His use. There are many around you who are still outside God's kingdom. Your loved ones, your friends, your colleagues, your classmates. When they see Christ in you, they will come to understand God. And this is the testimony of the life of the Apostle Paul, which we want to study. How God transformed this man. May He transform us too. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for giving to us Thy word, showing to us the conversion of this man, Saul, the Apostle Paul, how Thou didst subdue and cause him to submit to the Christ. O Lord, may Thou subdue every heart, that we may come under the influence of Thy Spirit to do Thy will, to be sensitive to Thy voice. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.